Ready. Well, Father, we just thank you. We bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving, Lord God, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, and I hope I can stay with the outline. I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to do it completely, but we'll get through the lesson. But this too is not a new lesson. It's one that we've had before, but I think like many things, we need to hear it over and over and over again until it gets in our hearts and it becomes more real than even the very air that we breathe, you know? And the title is The Resurrection of Christ in Divine Health. And I don't know about you, but I desire to walk in divine health, you know, with no aches and pains and quirks and whatever, you know, just to be walking in divine health. So number one says here, we have divine health because of Christ's great love for us. And I just want you to say that to yourself or read that to yourself in your mind. And where it says we, put I have divine health because of Christ's great love. And I'm reminded of the scripture where Jesus has ministered to the multitude, and he says to his disciples, let's go to the other side. And they get in a boat, and they're in, I don't know what body of water they're in. They're in the sea or an ocean, and a storm comes up, right? We all know this story. And Jesus is asleep, right? And they go, Lord, we're going to perish. Where are you? Why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you protecting us? Why aren't you healing us? You know? And they wake him up. I mean, he didn't even move at their cries. They had to go wake him up. And he says to them, where's your faith? Because he said to them in the very beginning, let's go to the other side. He spoke the word, and that's what he meant. He had no doubt that they would go to the other side, with or without a storm. And when we read that we have divine health because of Christ's great love, we have to know that we have that, no matter what the circumstance is. Because it's his love, it was his love, his sacrifice. And it says he rebuked the storm and he said, peace, be still. That's the word I'd like for you to resonate on today. Peace, be still. You know? Scripture reference here for this is Isaiah 52:14. And it says, and I'm going to read actually through chapter 53, because I just think it's so important. I'm going to start at verse 13. It says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall consider. And then chapter 53 says, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and he hid, as it were, our faces from him. And I think, you know, when I think about this and in light of what the Old Testament says about Jesus, this is talking about Jesus who is to come. I'm sorry, I think that was my phone going off. Let me turn it off. It only does that when you're in church, right? and I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to, and I know Isaiah is in the Old Testament, but when, you know, it speaks of Jesus, the Jews of the time thought Jesus was going to come as this great king and that he was going to capture all of their enemies and, you know, conquer everything, and he was going to come in royal fashion. But he didn't come that way. He came humble, riding on a donkey, you know? And so then it says in verse 4, surely he has borne our grief. He's carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone from his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of many people he was stricken. That they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's Christ's great love. And then Matthew 27, do I have that on there? Verse 50 says, this is after the resurrection. It says, when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That was Christ's great love. You know? Number two says, we are not under wrath, that's the fill-in, but favor. Psalms 90:9 through 11 says, for all our days are passed away in that wrath. We spent years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And verse 11 says, who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. So we've escaped the wrath of God. And we need to just be mindful of that. He's no longer angry with us. I didn't learn that until I came to River of Life, because I always thought God was very angry. And he was just waiting for me to do something so he could zap me. Yeah, I really did. But I now know he's not angry. Isaiah 54:9-10 says, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that has mercy on thee. We can quote that scripture. He's not angry with us. We are not to experience the wrath of God. And then, let's see, does it keep going here? Psalms 91:16 says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And then Proverbs 4:20-23 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ears to my heart, or unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And these scriptures are included there because these are scriptures that we need to have, I need to have in my heart, so that when the enemy of my soul comes to bring sickness and disease, any kind of infirmity, any kind of injustice, any kind of poverty, or whatever he's attacking me with, I can stand up and say the word to him and not my condition. You know, the tendency is, I love Pastor Kimberly's testimony, because she said, she was telling us, you know, she's told us many times about her condition with her foot. And the longer she focused on the foot, it didn't improve. But once she took her focus off her foot and she put it on the word of God and what he said to her about his healing, she no longer had problems with her foot. I can remember when I was given that diagnosis in 1986 of the sarcoid. And I remember the Lord said to me that he told me that I was to take the medicine that was prescribed. And he may not tell someone else that. Some people are told not to take the medicine. But I was specifically told I was to take the medicine, and I was to take it in Jesus' name. And I took it every day, and I prayed over it every day in Jesus' name. I did that for 9 months. The sarcoid went into remission. Then it came back with a vengeance. And then I took the medicine for a little over 2 years. I prayed over it every day in Jesus' name. The sarcoid went away. It went in remission, and it's been in remission ever since, with no symptoms or signs. I would go to get, it affected, in me, it affected lungs and eyes. And I would go to get a chest x-ray. And I would watch the technician because they would start to scurry because I don't know if they thought I had tuberculosis or they knew something was wrong because there was scar tissue there. When I get a chest x-ray today, I haven't had one in a really long time. They don't even seem disturbed. I don't know if I can't see my lungs, so I don't know what they look like. But I don't think there's any evidence of even scar tissue. Because they would react. I could tell that they were seeing something that they knew was abnormal. And, start asking me questions. But the sarcoid went in remission and has never returned. So it's because of Christ's great love that we can walk in divine health. So it's being obedient to what he tells you to do, and there are many ways. I mean, I believe he's given doctors wisdom for a reason, he's given medication for a reason. Sometimes he just sovereignly takes away whatever the ailment is, but ultimately he is the healer, and what I'm learning is that I have to get to the place where the word of God is my truth, and not the fact. They may say, the medical providers may say, well, you have this condition. That's a fact. But the truth of the matter is Jesus has already taken upon himself my sickness, my disease, my infirmity, whatever. And that has to become what I operate from. Amen. And I don't know if I should say this or not, but either way, I'll say it this way. Either way, I win. either way, I win. And I believe if God has spoken something over our lives, our time is in his hand. Is in his hand. Yeah. All right. Number three, we have to listen and believe God's promises to you or to me for divine health. We have to contend for it. The Bible says that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And I think that, to me, what contends me. We have to hold on to it with everything that we've got, no matter what. Matthew 11:12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence takes by force. In Exodus 23:25, it says, you shall serve only the Lord your God, and he shall bless you, your bread and water. He says, I will also remove sickness from among you. Psalms 103:5 says, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle, the soaring eagle. And I did not look up. Would you look up, or whoever has a phone, look up Psalms 92:14 in the Passion Translation for me. It says, consider Caleb, and we've heard many stories about Caleb. Due to God's grace, time, that's your fill in there, was suspended for him. In Joshua 14:10-11 says, and now look, the Lord has let me live. This is Caleb talking. Just as he said, he made Caleb a promise when he was 45 years old. And, we quote the scripture a lot. He says, Caleb says, give me my mountain. Well, it was about 45 years between when the promise was made and when the promise was fulfilled, And he held on to that promise for 45 years. 40 years. 40, between 40 and 45 years. But God made him a promise. He knew that God is not a man. He doesn't lie. And he says here, and now look, the Lord has let me live just as he said, just like he said to the disciples, go to the other side. He told Caleb, I promise you this. He tells us today, I promise you this. It's in my word. If he said it, it shall be. The Lord, he said, it's been 45 years since the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now look at me. I'm 85 years old today, and I'm still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now, for war and for going out and coming in. Amen. I want that to be my testimony. Everyone in his generation except Joshua had already died. So just like, think about those disciples now. They're on the boat. The boat's sinking because the storm is coming, and they're going, Jesus, where are you? He said to them, let's go to the other side. He said to Caleb, I'm going to give you this mountain. It took 45 years. He held on to that promise. We have to hold on to the promises of God with our dear life. I mean, really, you know, and believe him for what he said he has to do it, because he's not a man. He doesn't lie, you know. I also know that one of the things that we often are contending for is the word of God. Because the enemy wants to steal that from us. He knows that we are a threat to his kingdom, right? So he's going to try to steal the promises of God from us. And what way to do that than to make us focus on ourselves? Amen. It says, even though he was 40 years old. Sorry, my paper won't turn over here. Older than his, and that fill in right there, I wrote the word instead of I put the fill in and then I wrote the answer beside it, but the fill in answer is ability. His ability had not abated because the power of the Holy Spirit was upon him. And we now have Holy Spirit on the inside of us, bearing witnesses that we are heirs of salvation. All right, so that was Caleb. Consider Sarah. In 1 Peter 3, 6 through 6, it says, 3, 6, it says, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, following him and having regard for him as head of their house, calling him Lord, and you have become her daughters if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. I love that it says that. We're not to be frightened by any fear. You know, you get a bad report, you know. I was telling someone Sunday in 2014 when I was called into the HR office and told, You no longer have a job here. I was fired. And I tell you, fear gripped my very soul. I thought, Lord, what's going to happen to me? Because my whole focus was on what's going to happen to poor me. Like, God wasn't able to take care of me. And I thought I was going to pass out. I mean, it just gripped me. But it says here that we are like Sarah, and we should be not frightened or fearful. And then it says that is being respectful toward her husband, but not giving in to intimidation, nor allowing yourself to be led into sin, nor to be harmed. We're not to be afraid, you know. But I remember that experience, and it shook my very inner self. I mean, I'm thinking, Lord, I have worked all my life. I mean, the thoughts that can't start coming to mind. I'm going to lose everything. What's going to happen to me? Poor me. And I called my friend, and I said, they fired me. And this person said to me, that's good. But they knew the history of that work environment for me. It was probably one of the most toxic environments that I could have been in, and I should have left, but I didn't out of fear. So I was removed. And during the next 4 months, the Lord provided for me in such a gracious way. That's how I started coming to healing rooms. I had opportunity to minister to sick and shut-in folk in the church that I wouldn't have had opportunity to do and fellowship with. He provided for every need. I actually had more money than I did when I was working. The company let me draw unemployment, which I never have understood. But they fired me and let me draw unemployment. And then I interviewed for a position. It was really interesting. The lady that I interviewed with had worked for the company that had let me go. And she said to me, I don't know how you lasted as long as you did. She had worked there and she left. She recommended me for the position. The day I started my new position with this new company, I found out that lady was no longer with the company. She was there to do my interview, to recommend me for the position, and then she moved on. But God. So we are not to be frightened by any fear or intimidation or allow ourselves to be led into sin by not believing the Lord. Man. It says here that Sarah was the only woman in the Bible who had her youth renewed in old age. I think the ladies in here who are, we claim that one, right? We are Sarah's daughters, right? I do anyway, yeah. What promise do you have that ties us in even more to this revelation? We should meditate in Galatians, and it says 3:13 and 14. And this is another one of these scriptures we have to get in our heart. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then verse 29 says, and if ye be in Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This heritage is for the whole church. Yeah. I recently saw that movie, God's Only Son, or His Only Son, and it tells the story of Abraham. And Abraham had faith. God had spoken to him, and he believed God in spite of. I still, you know, it's amazing to me when I think about it. I don't remember how old Isaac was, but he wasn't a little boy. He was very old enough to be able to discern what was going on. And he knew that his father was going up to the mountain, but he did not take a sacrifice. And the only thing Abraham said to him was, God will provide. And when he realized that he was to be the sacrifice, I know this was a movie and it was a depiction of the biblical story, but he had faith. He saw something in his father's relationship with God that gave him faith to say, I'll be the sacrifice. And God provided a lamb. So I want you to be encouraged today that because of Jesus' resurrection, we can walk in divine health. You know? We can. Amen? God bless you. Is it the one at the top? Number four. It's apply. Ability. Yeah, I put the blank there, and then I put the answer. Sorry about that. The one back. Oh, Sarah. Sarah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any questions, comments, discussion? Anybody? Yeah. And it's just us getting the word in our heart that we, you know, the scripture says, "What this your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you," and you know, really getting that word in, and knowing that we know that we know that we know what that word is and how it applies to us, and not letting go of it no matter what happens, you know, or how it happens, you know. And even, you know, one of the things that I'm experiencing with the Lord is like, even when we do kind of waver and we quiver in our boots, but we call on Jesus, he is so quick to come. He wants to come. You know, he is so in tune with us and wanting to embrace our weaknesses to make us strong, that he's just right there. I mean, he's just a whisper away. He loves us so much. And when we realize that, we would never run from him. We'll always run to him, no matter what the situation is. Amen. Bless you.